We're doing Chazonish, Emunah u'Bitachon, Ram Tej Chaf Aleph, the fourth paragraph in the third chapter. Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav biyoter bezman shein achet megule v'tzarich diyun. One has to really contend with one's inclination when one is dealing with something that's not clearly wrong. Whenever it's something that's not obviously wrong, it involves a certain insight, so then we suddenly find ourselves drawn to it. It's much more difficult to deal with it. B'yot shekoach המגנה את ההשחטה הנטוע בלב האדם, אשר בה תמיד לעזות מבקש הטוב במלחמתו עם התאווה הגופנית וחמדתה.
We all have a built-in, the reasoning behind it is, we have a built-in force where when we look at something destructive, so something within us says, you don't want to do that. We can be disgusted with it. Now that helps us when we try to fight our desires and do what's right. So there's a part of us that tries to tell us, you don't want to do that. הכוח הזה הוא עמום במשפט העמום, but that force is silent when it's not so clear what's right and what's wrong. ונטול עוצמה הוא מלגנות את התוצאות המנוולות היוצאות אחרי המשפט המעוקל. And suddenly we don't have strength to look down at the results, the improper results that will come from an improper decision. כי אין להרגש מבחין בהלכה. We cannot sense what's correct or incorrect halachically. We look at a case and we're not sure who's in the right. So you can't, you don't find yourself feeling like I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't side with the wrong side because you don't know which side is the wrong side. So long as you don't know which side is the wrong side, so you don't feel any, you don't have any inclination. ולפי הרגשו לא יעלה ליבו לפון אולי משפטו מספחו. ולכן לא נפלאתי כי מן היחידים המתוקנים במידותיהם במידה ידועה, נפגשנו במידה אחרת במקרה מיוחד, כאשר נסתבך בסכסוך רב הערך עם רעהו, ולא יובל לשמוע כל מורים, ולא ידרוש אחר ההלכה. And because of this, you can find people who have worked to perfect their traits. They're very good, kind people. And yet, in a specific instance, when there's an argument, when there's a fight, when there's a machloket, so he has a fight with his friend, and he's not willing to listen to his teachers, he's not willing to ask what the halacha says, even though this person in every other area of his life is very clear that he's adherent to the halacha. But suddenly when there's a fight, when there's an argument, you can find in one area of his life, he has a hard time dealing with it. ונכנס בעובי הקורא להחזיק במלחמות וקטטות ומריבות. And suddenly you see him going full steam ahead, fighting and quarreling, וכל הדינות נפשו חלפה לך לכרגע. And suddenly all that sensitivity, all the gentile you saw until now, disappears in a minute. Why? So he says, because it's not so clear. People are accustomed to fighting for what they believe is right. Say, I know it's right to eat kosher, I know it's wrong for me to eat non-kosher, I know it's right for me to be a kind person, to take in guests. There are things I know that are right, so I can stick to what I know is right. But what happens when it's something that's not so clear who's right? There's an argument between me and my neighbor. There's an argument between me and the store next door. There's an argument between me and the competition. So then, of course, I'm right. Why do you think I'm not right? Prove it. And suddenly, a person feels like, of course this competition isn't fair. Why do you think it's not fair? There was a very interesting case. A guy was selling soda. He had a bottle, he had cups, and he was selling soda, and he was selling soda in a yeshiva, and he had, that was his thing, he was making money that way. Along came a new guy, and asked, can I put up a soda machine here? So, I didn't know the answer, but I would assume that if he's going to hurt the other guy's parnasa, it's not right. Every judge that looked at the case, every dayan that looked at the case, said that being that this guy is selling soda, a cup of soda for a shekel, and this guy is going to sell a can for 3.5-4 shekel. It's two totally different things. He can open up his machine. I even asked one of the dayanim, I said, is there midat chasidut? Is there an element of piety not to open a machine where this guy is selling his cups of soda? So he said, no, there's no element of piety. It's completely permissible. Now that was completely counterintuitive to me. I wouldn't have thought that was the halacha. I was very surprised. What do you think the guy who had a bottle did when this guy went to open up his soda machine? So he went ballistic. He said, what are you doing? You're destroying my parnasa. So the other guy said, you know, I asked a halachic question. I asked a judge. I asked a dayan. I asked two dayanim. When the first one said it to me, it didn't sound right. I asked the second one. They both said it. So you can understand that the first guy was very upset. But if the halacha says that that's okay, that that's permissible, and that there's no ethical reason not to do it, so then the fact that the guy's all upset, you have to ask him, wait, are you working with the system or are you not? And now, again, if you would have asked me, I would have said it's prohibited. I would have said at least on a level of piety, you shouldn't do it. And the courts ruled not like me.
You know, it's not, because legally, as they said, they didn't, but of course, I won't be interested in the upshot story, but the guy still sold his soda 6 months later.
Well, what happened was, the guy who sold from the bottle, was people were buying for a shekel a cup because it was more worthwhile. Think about it. You don't always want to drink a can.
Right.
No, you're happy buying a cup.
Fine.
Not only made a parnasa, the other guy couldn't sell a can. He would sell maybe five cans a day. The other guy barely made a...
He has no labor. He just comes in and cleans it out, fills it up.
Say there.
So it works for both. So maybe that was one of those situations.
I'm just saying, we can understand that the guy who was first was very upset. But when I was looking at the situation, I was thinking Chazanish. I was thinking this is exactly what the Chazanish is talking about. If the halacha sides with you, you have every right to fight for your right. But if the halacha says you're not in the right, so I'm very sorry, you could be upset, you could wish the halacha said differently, but the competition is allowed to do it. And whether you like it or don't like it is your problem. If we're working with the system, that's why the Chazanish began. Emunah bitachon. Now I lead my life with this system. And even though the system will sometimes tell me things that don't jive with me, that's my problem.
That's the hardest. When you advise a person you just aspire to be, and the halakha is not that clear, and Dayanima not so unanimous maybe, I think it's 48 ways. Rav Moshe Weinberg says, give five reasons why the other guy is right before you act.
Very nice.
So, with this situation, since halakha is on the side of the new vendor, with you personally, is it acceptable to still think it's not morally correct that he's opening, or should
Why?
Change your personal opinion?
Why?
Because you had this intuitive...
I still don't understand the halakha, not only past tense, even present tense, but I respect the new vendor. If the halakha says the new vendor is completely within his rights, I have no issue with him. I have no issue with him. I have no issue buying by him. What's wrong? He's 100% within his rights. And they're telling him there isn't even an element of piety. He does not have to factor that in. It's not considered that he's competing with... It's a totally different realm. And the fact of the matter is that the facts bore out what the courts ruled. Because, you see, he opened his... He started selling soda cans. And in a week, I don't think he sold 10 soda cans. The other guy polished off maybe 30, 40 bottles. And he... It's a totally different market. That's what they were saying. That's what the court was saying. It's not what I thought, but the facts bore out what the court said. Yeah, it was very surprising to me. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it's real competition. I still would think that. I'm very surprised by what happened there.
Even now, you still think knowing, because I mean, if the guy really wanted to be unfair, he'd say, okay, for a few months I'll sell it at a shop. Or, you know, and then...
Well, the courts told him, you shouldn't make moves to try and hurt his parnasa, but if you run a vending machine regularly, right? I have trouble with it, yeah.
This is what's so good about this. You know, if the areas that were clear is one thing, where we really have to test areas where there are all kinds of halakhas that seem crazy, you know, Buddha stuff, different things. They really have hard times. They're up against doing it in the Sanhedrin. Was it something came up today? Theft, you know, if you steal from a minor, it's not really stealing it. You know, I was trying to explain it to my wife. Talking about it, just because it's stealing, just because it's not technically stealing, doesn't mean it's permissible. In the right, I could go like this to you. Doesn't say I can't, but it's not permissible. That was the wrong example, but it's interesting how that is. So it's one of the hardest things when you come from outside is once you accept this, take upon yourself, halacha, it's easy when it makes sense to you. It's hard when it doesn't. and you still have to do it with a smile, and you can't fight. You know, that's kind of